We're holding up a Mishnah at the top of Tesamid Aleph. Mishnah says, Mishalech Chog v'yamtev edition shochag, somebody who did not bring his korban chagigah the first day yamtev, chagigah is kol regel, and he can bring the chagigah any time during the yamtev, v'yamtev achan shochag, including the last day of yamtev, which Rashi says, v'yamtev achan shochag, chag in Gemara terminology, unspecified, usually means sukkot, so it means including Shmini Atzeres, which we'll learn in the Gemara why that's said. Other... Exactly, Shmini Atzeres is Yom Tov itself. Nevertheless, you're allowed to bring the Chagigah on Shmini Atzeres as well. And with Pesach, it would be the 7 days. And we'll learn in the Gemara why that's said. Over a Rego V'lei Chog, if the whole Yom Tov passes and you did not bring the Chagigah, Ein Echayev V'Achriya said, then you're not responsible for making it up. Meaning, it was basically, you missed your chance. And it means either way. It means if you never set aside an animal for the korban in the first place, you don't have to now. If you set aside one and didn't get around to bringing it on Yom Tov, okay, after it's already been designated as a korban, you're going to have to bring it as a korban at some point, but it's not going to be a chagiga anymore, it'll just be a voluntary korban. But it, be that as it may, you won't be yotze to the mitzvah of chagiga with that. Al-Zenema, this is the kind of thing that it talks about when the pasuk says, "Me'uvas lo yuchal liskein," a crooked thing cannot be fixed. "V'chesra lo yuchal lehimonis," and something missing cannot be counted. This is, in other words, the opportunity is missed. There's no way to make it up. Reb Shimon Menachia Eimer, Ezeu Mu'uvas Sheni Yochal Litakin, what's not necessarily would be called out of Mu'uvas Sheni Yochal Litakin. What's considered a crooked thing that can't be fixed? Zehabala Erva, Behoilad Mimena Mamzer. This is, for example, a person who has relations with an Erva, somebody he's not allowed to marry, as we'll learn about the details in Yeromus in a few weeks, and then they have a child, a Mamzer. So Tarsus points out the difference is, mainly you miss the chagiga. Okay, you know, it's not obvious. There's nothing that you can point to in the world that says, you know, this is there as a consequence of you not bringing the chagiga. You know, in terms that the Altareva puts it in the first parak of Igeres HaTshuva, you know, the ur is missing. The light that you were supposed to be bringing down into the world, the energy from Hashem that you were supposed to be bringing down by doing that mitzvah is missing. But when you actually have a mamzer there, you actually have somebody who was born from a union which is chayiv karis or mrs. based in. You actually have it. You know, everybody can point to. You know, look, there's the obvious evidence that this person did an aveira. Yeah, which Tosfos points out. That's why Rav Shimon ben Manasseh is focusing on that. For example, I mean, you could argue the same thing about a ritzeach. For example, you could argue a person who killed. It's also on the face of it lo yuchal liska, and you can't bring the victim back alive. But the difference is, you don't have somebody standing there that you can say, you know, that everybody is going to say, you know, look, this was caused by this person's action, you know. As opposed to here, you have the actual mamzer standing there. Which, you know, yeah, I mean, we have, you know, there's a famous story involving the chassid of the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Shenkovitzer, and the Baal Tshuva of this guy who had been working for a poet for many years and then went way off the derech and ended up marrying a goita and having children with her. And afterwards, when Rabbi Yosef is told on him to do tshuva, then, you know, he works so hard on doing tshuva that eventually, you know, he gets the news. Afterwards, the news comes that the wife and those children are gone. They got swept away in a flood, whatever, you know. So there, that, but that's an exceptional kind of thing. Tshuva me'ava, that a person is able to undo even that kind of thing. Ordinarily, as Altareva points out, in Perek Zion Tanya, this is, and it's not funny, it's, you know, normally the Alter Rebbe points out over there in Perek Zion of Tanya that usually, yes, Ubas Lo Yochal Liska, and a person does one of these kinds of Averis, that's the Alter Rebbe talks over there about the difference between Arayas versus Hetzatzet El Vatala, that Arayas actually have an effect, like we're talking about over here, Hetzatzet El Vatala, there's no, like Tosfos is saying over here, there's no actual physical effect that you can point to in the world, it's more of a spiritual effect. So normally, yeah, that's it. You know, it's more of a slow yochal liska, and there's nothing you can do about it. Except the Alter Rebbe hints to, you know, that there, you person can do tremendous tshuva me'ava and undo even that. And then there's that story that the Friedrich Rebbe tells the whole details of the story in the introduction to Perkeach Ivrim, which is a sefer that the Mitzvah Rebbe wrote as a manual for this yid Shlomo, his name was, to teach him how to do proper tshuva.
It's written
for all of us, but it was written based on this story for one person, yeah, who would come back like that, yeah. Anyway, so that's what Shimon Menachem is saying, and that's what Ovis Shiloh is going, because of the mamzer over there. Because he says, in time of a garner proposal, because you can't say them obviously Yochalisco, and for example, applies to somebody who steals or robs. Yochalulasir, the attacker. You can always return what you stole, and then you're fixing up what you did wrong. The Heshima Sagnila, and you fixed up what you did.
Yeah, I mean, other than killing and
Tosfos hints at it by saying that there's also a case of a Gazlan. Which, what do you mean? Our Mishnah says that a Gazlan you can return. Right. So Marsha explains, suppose you have, for example, somebody with Gozel from the public. You have a case, for example, where somebody had false weights and measures. So for years, you know, for months or years or whatever, you know, they were weighing out wrongly in their store and cheating the customers. When they want to do tshuva, it's going to be really hard to actually accomplish anything, because how are you going to return it? How are you going to know who all the customers were and be able to return it? So you do. I mean, there's a concept then that you should use the money for tzachit tzibur, and that way, you know, for things that the public is going to need, and that way the people who were defrauded are going to have enough from it. But still, you know, it's like, you know, yeah. Yeah. Here's a third possibility. He says, you're saying ma'uvas implies that you have, the word ma'uvas, crooked, implies that it started out straight and then it got crooked. So lav davka wouldn't apply even to somebody for this ball over behind the Mimena Mamzer. Not necessarily as in Mu'uvas, as if he started out straight. A person like that, maybe he started out krum in the first place. It's taka lo yuchaliskan, but can you describe it as Mu'uvas? Maybe not. Ella, he says, ain't koin Mu'uvas, ella l'mishayim esukan betchilu v'nis avis. The word Mu'uvas specifically applies to somebody who at first was straight, at first was going the right way, and then he became crooked. And what kind of case is that? This is a Talmud Chacham who abandoned learning Torah. That's really Mu'uvas, because even afterwards he does tshuva and wants to make up the time he missed in learning still. You know, every day has its own avodah, its own learning to do. How's he going to make up that missed time? Some of the say actually that it means something slightly different. This Talmud Chacham Parish Menatara can also mean a case that the Gemara talks about in Kedushin. You can have a case of a person who did many mitzvahs and then they're what's called Toya al Rishonis. Like one day the guy wakes up and says, you know, why did I bother doing these mitzvahs all the years? The whole thing is shtus. Then he loses the credit for all those mitzvahs that he did. We're going to have actually in the next parak, the next parak we're going to have the story of Acher is sort of along those. Sort of, yeah, but that's the point. In other words, usually we say a person did mitzvahs, fine, they stay in his credit. Afterwards he does Averis, okay, the Eivishter rewards him for his mitzvahs, punishes him for his Averis, and that's that. How could a person lose credit for his mitzvahs is something like that. Toya will join us. That's what we're talking about over here. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah that somebody who did not bring the Chagigah the first day Yom Tov has the whole Yom Tov to bring it. Menani Mili, how do we know this? Or actually, specifically, how do we know that when it comes to Sukkot, you have Shmini Atzeres as well? Shmini Atzeres, on the face of it, is a separate Yom Tov. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yishmol, we make the Zeru Shavah, Nemar Atzeres B'Shvini Shal Pesach, V'Nemar Atzeres B'Shmini Shal Chag. It says, the Torah describes the seventh day of Pesach as Atzeres, V'Yem HaShvini Atzeres L'Hashem Alekecha, and it also describes Shmini Atzeres, V'Yem HaShmini Atzeres T'Yalochem. So, ma lahalon tashlumin, so just like when it comes to the seventh day of Pesach, you can do tashlumin on it, and obviously, because it's still part of the same Yom Tov, afkam tashlumin, so also, when Shmini Atzeres is described as an Atzeres, it comes to teach us that you have that last day to bring the korban as well.
Why is the eighth day of Pesach called Atzeres?
It's a seventh day of Pesach. The simple meaning of Atzeres has a double meaning, actually. The Gemara is going to say in a second that it means a stoppage from work, malashon otzer, you're stopped, you're restricted from working. Number two, it also means a gathering. That's both, a Yom Tov is both of those things. It's a day when you're not allowed to work. And it's in distinction of, I mean, the seventh day of Pesach, for example, was an Atzeres, in distinction to the days before, which are Chol HaMoed, which, you know, we just had a whole Masechta the Moed Katan that discussed what you're allowed, the Melachot that you're allowed to do Chol HaMoed. So all of a sudden, so you had, five or six or whatever it is, days of Chol HaMoed, when you're allowed to do certain kinds of work, all of a sudden comes Shmini Shal Pesach, Atzeres, you have to stop all those things you were doing the last few days. Similarly with Shmini Atzeres, same idea.
That Atzeres Pesach is
Shri Pesach. Now, in another sense, the Atzeres Pesach is Shavuos. That's the whole reason why that's the reason why Shavuos is called Atzeres. So the Pesach sort of has two Atzereses in that sense. But talking on the simple level, Yom Tov Shavuos is an independent Yom Tov of its own. What is the Atzeres of Pesach? The one that the Torah describes as Atzeres. Atzeres L'Hashem Alekecha, which is the seventh day Pesach. And the fact that we're describing both of them as Atzeres implies that they have something in common. What is that in common, besides that they're also to do Malacha? That is that you're allowed to bring the Chagigah of that Yom Tov on it. Yeah. So the Gemara points out Mufne. you have to say that this gzera shava is mufne, meaning that the words that we're using, this word atzeres, is available. It's not, we wouldn't otherwise need it for the sense of the pasuk. Sometimes we have, sometimes we'll want to use a word for gzera shava, but I mean, we need it for something else. We need it to teach us another din, or just it's necessary for the syntax of the pasuk, because otherwise the pasuk wouldn't read, there wouldn't be a way for the Torah to express what it wants to express. Such a thing is called that the gzera shava is not mufne. The word is not available. Whereas if we say that the word is sort of extra in the pasuk, the pasuk could have just as well been written without it, and we'd understand what it wants to say, that's called mufne. Now, we have to say that, the Gemara says, because de'i lav mufne, because if the gzera shava is not mufne, if the word atzeres was actually needed for the pshat of the pasuk, ikel mifrach, then we would be able to slug up this gzera shava. Ma l'shvi'i shal Pesach, shekeinei necholok mishalofonav. Because after all, shvi'i shal Pesach is one kind of thing. It's not separate from the Yom Tov before it. It's a continuation of the same Yom Tov. We don't say shechiyonu on it. It's one of the reasons why we don't say Hol Hallow on it. How can you compare that with Shmini Atzeres, which is a completely distinct thing? It's a whole separate Yom Tov of its own. You don't sit in the Sukkah in Eretz Yisrael. We do in Chutzlars for the sake of the Yom, but whatever. We don't take a little bit of Esrog. We make Shach Yonu on it. We call it a different name in davening. Hazar Kashav, as we had a few times in the Gemara. The point is, the Gemara mentions in a few places, there's actually a machloikas on how this thing of Gzeira Shavas and Mufna works. One opinion is there's three possibilities you can have. You can have a Gzeira Shava where neither of the two words you're using is Mufna. Both of them are needed in context in the pasuk for the pasuk to make any sense. You can talk about a case where one is Mufna and one is not. One maybe is not necessary for the simple meaning of the pasuk, but the other one is. And then you have a case where it's mufna on both sides. There's a machloikas in a couple of places in the Gemara, and Nida is one of them. What kind of zeta shava are you allowed? Which of these three kinds of zeta shavas are allowed? Which ones are allowed, but you could slug them up if you find a good way to slug them up? And which ones can't be slugged up? One way of looking. Because over here we're saying a logical reason to slug it up. Logically, Shvi'i Shal Pesach is different than Shmini Atzeres. One way of looking at it, one opinion is that only if it's mufna on both sides, only if the word is extra on both sides, can you not slug it up. Even if you might have a logical reason to, nevertheless, the fact that the Torah took the trouble to write an extra word in two places makes it a very powerful kavah chomer and it can't be slugged up. But if it was only extra on one side, you might be able to. The other way of looking at it is no, even if it's extra on one side, even if it's mufna on one side, that's ready enough, that's already powerful enough to slug it up. The only way you could slug it up is if the word was needed in context on both sides. So here, what we're saying is, either way, the Gemara is saying either the word atzeres is needed in one place, it's not needed in one place, or it's not needed in either place. Whatever, according to the two different opinions, that means then that you can't slug it up.
It is
mufna. That's what the Gemara is saying. You have to say it could be even on both sides. It depends on the two different opinions. Yeah, Rabbi Shmuel versus the Chachamim, who argue on the mechanics of how Gzeira Shava works. But for our purposes, we could understand it either way. The point is, the Gemara is saying if these words atzeres, if the word atzeres by Shvi'i Shal Pesach and by Shmini Atzeres was actually needed in the context of the pasuk, if the pasuk would not make sense without the word, then we couldn't even make such a kavah chomer, because then we have an easy way to slug it up. There's no way you can compare Shvi'i Shal Pesach to Shmini Atzeres.
That's the word mufna means.
Mufna means empty, literally.
Punner,
you're right. Like it's available. Yeah.
What do you want to contract? A person has a.
There are mafarshim who say, first of all, a lot of times we find that the chachamim will have a kabbalah that certain words are meant to be used for gzeira shava, but they'll argue what that gzeira shava teaches us. In this case, if we said that the word atzeres is mufne by both these places, and there are other yom tovim where there are other places where it says atzeres also, we would have said, okay, we use the word atzeres to teach us something else. We use it for another. There are actually some mafarshim who say that each tana, and I guess amora, had the kabbalah from his teachers how many pairs of words. I think we talked about this before. How many pairs of words there are in the Torah that are meant for gzeira shavas, but not necessarily the actual list. So one Tana would have a Kabbalah that there's 130 of such pairs, the Moshul. So if he had, if he knew already, that he has 129 of those slots are used up, and he has 130th available, fine, he could use Atzeres for that 130th one, unless it can be slugged up. Then he would have to say, okay, I'll have to go looking and find another one. So the Gemara says, Loi, indeed, afnu ye mufne. Yes, I can prove to you that the word Atzeres is in fact mufne, that it's available. It wouldn't have been needed for the sense of the pasuk. Nechti, because after all, my Atzeres, what does the word Atzeres basically mean? Atzer, otzer vasiyas malacha. It means it's withheld from doing malacha. Well, then we don't need that. Hoksiv loi sasa malacha. The pasuk right there continues. By shvi shapesach v'yem ha-shvi Atzeres l'ashem alakecha loi sasa malacha. By shmini Atzeres, v'yem ha-shmini Atzeres tiyah lachem kom malachas avoyde loi sasa. So everybody says not to do malacha. Atzeres because of Rahman Olamali. So after all, why would the Torah need to further describe it as Atzeres? Eloshmamin olafnuye. So it must mean the word Atzeres is available. It's available for Zeder Shava on both sides, in fact. And therefore, now we can't slug up that Zeder Shava, no matter how much logic we can bring to bear against it. So therefore, that proves the point then. That proves the point then that Shmini Atzeres is available to bring the Chagiga of service. We learned, by the way, also in Rosh Hashanah that we Shavuos also has days of Tashlum, even though it's only one day, we make a hekesh between it and Pesach. We have a Chag HaMatzot, a Chag HaShavuos, a Chag HaSukkos, so we make a hekesh between it and Pesach to say that just like Pesach, you have 7 days, you have the original day of Yom Tov and 6 days of Tashlum, so does Shavuos. Because, it's not a Gzeder Shavah in that case, it's the Hekish, because the Torah puts them all together in one pasuk, Chag HaMatzot, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaSukkos, to tell us that they all have similar rules.
You put Tashlum all together now.
So it goes to Yubez, yeah. That's why I'm in it, because we don't say Tachno and doing Sivan until Yubez Sivan. Yeah. Sigma points out, so far what we had, this that we said was Rabbi Yochanan, and Amora saying this. Now, the Gemara points out, V'tana ma'isilo mehacha. A Tana from a Braisa instead learns the same din, but from a different place. Not from the Zeder Shava, et cetera, but he has a different source for it. The Tanya, the pasuk says, "V'chagroisim oisei chag v'Hashem shivas yomim." That you should celebrate the Yom Tov of the Sukkah at Sukkos to Hashem for 7 days. Yachol yechogig b'holach kol shiva. You would say the word chagiga, the word v'chagroisim means we usually translate it as to celebrate. And the Gemara is going to actually talk about that. So we'll have tomorrow, Best Hashem. The Gemara is going to talk about what the word v'chagroisim really means to bring a chagiga. It doesn't just mean to celebrate. The next Mishnah that we're going to learn tomorrow is going to mention that Chagigas is one of those things where we have a pasuk that tells us to bring a korban, but like you need something extra. You need Torah Shabbat Peh to explain to you that it actually means to bring a korban. That's why, because even though the Torah says Chagigasim, without Torah Shabbat Peh, you wouldn't know what that means. You wouldn't know that it means to bring a Chagigah.
That last thing is also brought down by Midbar.
Yeah, we said yesterday, or a couple of days ago, that's why we said, that's why we knew the shlomim that were brought the day before Matan Torah were chagigas, because that's how they were fulfilling what they had told Pare they were going to do, yeah. Anyway, so the pasuk saying v'chagoysim, that you have to bring a chagigah, but it says you have to do for 7 days. Yachol yechogig v'holach kol shiva, so maybe that should mean you have to bring a chagigah every day throughout the 7 days. No. Talmud Lomar Oisai. No, the pasuk says Chagoyim Oisai. You should make it a Yom Tov. Oisai at the Chagig. So you only need one day of Chagiga. We have to Chagig Kol Shiva. You do not have to bring a Chagiga all 7 days. Okay. In Kain Lama Nema Shiva. Well, then why does the Torah say Chagoyim? Then why does the Torah mention anything about 7 days? And it's not talking about this. Chagoyim Chag LaHashem, by the way, is not talking about actually celebrating the Yom Tov, because that it says in previous pasukim. This Chagoyim specifically is talking about the Chagiga. So if so, why does it say 7? L'tashlumin, that means that you have 7 days to make up the korban. U'minayin sheim lechog yom tov rishon chag shechog v'chayoch es kolor regel v'yom tov achron. How do we know then that if you didn't bring it the first day sukkos, that you have the entire sukkos at plus shmini aseres? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk continues, that same pasuk. That's why the Torah continues, b'chodesh hashvi techogu oisai. In the seventh month, You should be bringing the chagiga. So we see that you have more than just the 7 days. You have an extension into the rest of the month. Well then, maybe it means the whole month. Tamad lima oisai. No, but that's why, because we have the second oisai. The whole pasuk goes like this. So chagosim oisai chag v'ashem shivat yom v'shana chukat elam d'otechem b'chodesh hashvi chagu oisai. So you have two oisai, which are both a mute. So the first one tells us it's only one day is the fundamental chiyuv of bringing a chagiga. You only have to bring it once. The second oisai tells us not the rest of the month. You only have the days of Yom Tov. So you do have an extension beyond the 7 days. That's the B'chodesh HaShvi'i teaches us that you have an extension, but no more than Yom Tov, because that's what oisai. Oisai, that's a chagig. You can only celebrate on it. On the Yom Tov, v'yat chagig chutzalo. You do not celebrate, you do not bring chagiga outside of it. Sort of like a kafala, proud kafala, I guess you could think of it, yeah. The Pashtus, because in between we have this Shiva, we have the Bechodesh HaShvi'i, which is a Ribui. It would be a Miut or a Ribui, yeah, it would be sort of like a Prat, it would be actually kind of a Prat or Kvala Prat, okay? So therefore, so we see from that with Sukkot you have the extra day, you have the eighth day. But only that, right. Which incidentally then, the question is, in that case, why does the Torah mention Shivat Yomim if actually you have 8 days? So tomorrow we learned in Psachim that the reason that the Torah is hinting that every year you are only going to have 7 days to bring your chagiga, because one of those days inevitably is going to be Shabbos. So therefore you're left with 7 days. Which the Gemara said there, okay, sometimes you're down to only six because you can have the first day, the first day Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres can be on Shabbos. But okay, you never have more than seven. Sometimes you're right, you'll only have six. Okay, now having established that, so we established then that you have days of Tashlumin. In the case of Pesach, you have 7 days total. In the case of Sukkot, you have 8 days total. And in the case of Shavuot, you also have seven. Now the question becomes, Umay Tashlumin? What does this Tashlumin consist of? When we say that when we say that the rest of the days are Tashlumin, there's two ways of looking at it. We touched on this and on the first block of the Masechta. You can either say that the basic chiyuv is that you have a chiyuv is placed on you on the first day. You didn't do it the second day. You have the second, third, fourth, etc. You have throughout the Yom Tov. Or you can say it, the chiyuv is placed on you on the first day. You didn't do it the first day. A new chiyuv is placed on you the second day. You didn't do it the second day, a new chiyuv is placed on you the third day. Each day, a new chiyuv comes, as long as you didn't do it, and then each day becomes a chiyuv making up for the previous day.
Yeah, the first one was?
The first one is, the chiyuv is established on the first day. You didn't do it the first day, you have the second, third, fourth, etc., but it's all a continuation of the same chiyuv. Which the Gemara is going to say, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute. Let's say, for example, you weren't chayiv the first day. Right. Would you be chayiv the rest of the days or not?
But if you say you have the second day,
because it is the second day is a tashlum for the first one. You have a chiyuv on the second day as a tashlum because you didn't bring the first one on the first day. The third day you have a chiyuv because you didn't do as a tashlum for the fact that you didn't bring on the second day. No, there's no question. If you brought one on the first day, you potter the rest of the yom tov. Yeah.
So then. Your amounts the same thing as what you
national
any day after.
No. One second. Because we're going to see the difference. What if you weren't chayev on the first day? What if you only became chayev on the second day? Are you chayev to bring that day or not? Yeah. So my tashlumin, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tashlumin the Rishon. Rabbi Yochanan says that all the days are a tashlumin for the first day. Rabbi Oshi Amar Tashlumin Zelazan. Rabbi Oshi says they're a tashlum for each other. Each day has its own independent chiyuv, basically, depending on the previous one. My benayu, what's the practical difference? Amar abzeda chigur b'yem rishim v'nispashet b'yem sheni ikka benayu. The nafkamina would be, for example, if you have somebody who was lame on the first day and then was healed on the second day. So he wasn't chayav the first day, because we established at the beginning of the Masechta that a chigur is potter, because he doesn't have, you can't say sholosh regalim, because he's not walking on his own 2 feet. But he's healed now on the second day. If you say it's tashlum in the Risha, and okay, he was potter on the first day, he remains potter throughout the Yom Tov. There never develops a new time when the chiyuv, there's never a new time when the chiyuv is placed on him. As opposed to, if it's tashlum in zelazel, like Rabbi Oshia says, fine, the day he's healed is the day he becomes chayav.
One follows the time and one follows the person.
In a way, yeah. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the Gemara teaches it out. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tashlumin the Rishon, because kiven de lechazi b'rishon lechazi b'sheni, since he's not suitable to bring the korban on the first day, then he's not suitable on the second day either. There's no independent chiyuv on the second day. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tashlumin zelazer. Rabbi Yochanan says the tashlumin for each other. Therefore, afagab lechazi b'rishon lechazi b'sheni. So even though he's not suitable on the first day, he becomes suitable on the second day, and that's when he becomes chayev to bring the korban.
I don't understand the first day, but this is here. What is it?
That's why, because Rabbi Oshia is saying every day has a new independent chiyuv. Good. So then in that,
what is
that's because he's saying, because what do we mean by tashlumen? What do we mean by tashlumen? When we say that you have that you're able to bring chagiga the first, the second, the third, etc. day, what it he holds that each one is a separate thing of its own. Yes, once you did it on one day, you potter the rest. You could think of it like this. I mean, you know, think of for example, putting on tefillin. Let's say, you know, you have a chiyuv to put on tefillin once a day. You didn't do it at 6 o'clock in the morning. You have a chiyuv to do it at 7. You didn't do it at 7. You have a chiyuv to do it at 8, right? You know, if you did it at 6, you potter for the rest of the day. But you don't say if you were potter from putting on tefillin at 6, then you potter the rest of the day, right?
Right. But except that.
But as we established, it means there's oiso, you have to have one day you bring your chagiga, but that's one day during those 7 or 8 days. So what is it then? If one day during those 7 days you become able to bring it, then do you have to or not?
One day, but it's flexible day.
Yeah. Tosfos actually asks the question, what about if it's the other way around? What if the person was healthy on the first day Yom Tov, and then he becomes lame on the second day? So he didn't bring his he was healthy the first day, but he didn't get around to bring his chagiga then. Next day he becomes lame. Do we say he's potter, or do we say that after all he still has the original chiyuv from before? He won't. Tosfos leaves it unanswered. I mean, Tosfos says, okay, listen, you know, right now he's in a situation he's not going to be able to bring it. But what happens? You know, the first day he was able to, the second day he becomes lame, and then the third day he's healed again. So now the third day, is he chayev or not? Or do we say, you know, that the chiyuv went away? The Rebbe points out, by the way, an interesting thing. We're going to talk soon about Pesach Sheni, and with Pesach Sheni, the Gemara has a similar sugya, but it discusses in a different way. It talks about cases, for example, instead of talking about a person who was lame and then was healed, it talks about, for example, a katan grew up between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, he became bar mitzvah, or a ger was misgayer between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Why does our Gemara, instead of using those examples, use this example of chigur shenispashet? There's a couple of different answers that Rebbe gives. One of them is because in a sicha that Rebbe talked about, because this idea of chigur is unique to chagiga, then the Gemara would rather use that. Even though, it could have used things that are similar in chagiga and in Pesach, but the Gemara wanted to use something that's unique to chagiga, to our mesechta. Other answers in a letter of the Tanigris Kodesh that Rebbe gave, a couple of other answers. Another answer that Rebbe gave is, practically speaking, we're talking from one day to the next over here. There's not that many kids who are going to become bar mitzvah in the middle of Chol HaMoed Sukkot. I mean, statistically, there aren't that many. During a month between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, sure, there could be a lot. Similarly with Gerim, you know, how likely is it that a guy didn't get around to being this guy before Yom Tov, and all of a sudden, you know, the Beis Din gets around to being matbil him on a Chol HaMoed? Not very likely. I mean, between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, you have a whole month. You know, that kind of thing is more realistic.
How likely is it a person that's just a kid and then it's rapid or whatever?
Right, okay, it's maybe less likely, but okay, again, since we're talking about, you know, since we, it could happen at least, and it is more related to, the, you know, to one of the unique dinim of chagiga.
Taking a long walk, or it's finished, from there with no roads and with holes in the night.
That's right.
That's
beyond his control,
actually. That, actually, that's another answer that Abba gives, is the difference is, the Gemara here wants to stress the idea that there can be a difference. What about, for example, there could be a case where a person, that we're going to talk about soon, for example, where a person can't bring the carbon because he's tamei. It's not that he's potter from ri'iyah. It's just he's in a physical state. He's in a state where it's called auya d'ravia in halacha terms. It's called that, you know, he essentially has a chiyuv, but there's like a lion sitting on top of it. You know, like there's an external circumstance that prevents him from doing the mitzvah, the fact that he's tamei. As opposed to, for example, a cotton or a ger, where he's b'chal not shayach to it. A chigir is more along those lines, is more similar to tamei, which we're going to talk about in a minute, where like there's a side factor. And that's what we want to stress over here. I think we're asking, Miyomer Rabbi Yechanan, did Rabbi Yechanan really say this? Rabbi Yechanan is saying then that everything is tashlum in the rishon, meaning if you weren't chayach on the first day, then that's it, you're not chayach throughout the whole Yom Tov. But we find that Chizkiyah says, now Rashi says that this that Chizkiyah is talking about is in a different case, in an entirely different case, that it's talking about a Nazir. We know the Torah says that when a Nazir, if he becomes Tomei during his Nazirus, if it's Tomei Mes specifically, then, you know, he has to go through his 7 days of Tara, the usual sprinkle of Parah Adruma water. After that, he brings some Karbonis, he brings an Asham and a couple of other Karbonis. He loses the days of Nazirus that he counted so far. We'll learn about this next summer, Bez Hashem, in detail. And he has to start his Nazirus, so he shaves his hair, and he starts his Nazirus all over again. Now, suppose we have like this then. Suppose we have, the guy becomes Tamei, 7 days pass, and he's supposed, and it's already the eighth day, he's supposed to bring his Karbonus, and then he becomes Tamei again. There's no question then, everybody agrees, that in that case he's going to have to bring two sets of Karbonus. Because since he already came to a day when he's supposed to bring his Karbonus, and he didn't yet, so let's say, you know, he delayed, it's the ninth day already, and he became Tamei again, he's going to have to bring a Karbon, he's going to have to bring Karbonus Tumah for the first Tumah, and again for the second Tumah. The machlokas we're going to have over here is, what about if he became Tamei the night before? So the 7 days have passed, 7 days of his Tumah has passed, but and now it's the night going into eight, to the eighth day. So nitma bayoy maybe, if he became Tamei during the eighth day, then he has to bring a second set of Karbonus. Balayla, in a maybe, but if he became Tamei by night, the night going into the eighth day, we're ready, this is after 7 days, he was sprinkled with Parah Adumah water, he tovled on the evening of the seventh and had hair of Shemesh, so now all he is the Mechusu Kippurim, all he's missing is bringing his Karbonus. If it's by night, though, then he doesn't have to bring another set of Karbonus yet, because you can't bring Karbonus at night. So he hasn't yet reached a point where he's suitable to bring his Karbonus. He couldn't have brought them in the 7 days, he's Tamei. By night of the eighth day, he's not suitable to bring his Karbonus either because it's nighttime. So therefore, Chizkiah says, fine, he's going to have to go through another 7 days of Tahara, of course, but he will not have to bring another set of Karbonus. He can have one set of Karbonus that covers everything. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even if he became Tamei by night, he still will have to bring a second set of Karbonus. Because, yes, it's true, by night you can't bring Karbonus yet, but it doesn't matter. He already finished his first bout of Tumah. That's already enough to make him chayev in a second set. Once he finished with his first Tumah, then he's already chayev in another Karbon. So what do we see from that? Even though it's by night, he's not yet roy to bring a Karbon. He's not yet able to bring the Karbon. Nevertheless, we say he has to do Tashlumin. By the same logic, applying that logic over here, a person is a chigir on the first day Yom Tov. He's potter from bringing the Karbonus. That's the equivalent of a nazir by the night of the eighth day. Fine, but the next day he becomes healthy. Why shouldn't he have to? Why would Rabbi Yochanan say he doesn't have to bring his Karbonus? When in the case of the nazir, he says he does have to. The Rambam has a different explanation of this piece. We're not talking about a nazir, the Rambam says. We're actually talking still in the case of a chagiga. That Rabbi Yochanan holds, if the person became Tamei even the first night of, if a person became Tamei the first night of Yom Tov, he's already potter from the Korban Chagiga. As opposed to Chizkiah would be saying that only if he becomes Tamei by day would he be potter for the rest of the Yom Tov. But if he became Tamei by night, then he still remains chayev once he becomes Tahar.
Because it didn't
happen yet that there was a time when he had the chiyuv of the carbon. Yeah, right. Because again, Karbonus only by day. So Rabbi Yochanan seems to be contradicting himself. Tumah is different. We do find a case where somebody is Tomei and they're barred from bringing a carbon, but they still have another chance later, like Pesach Sheni. So therefore, we see that tumah is a different kind of dichli. Basically, you never find a case, for example, where a person is lame or a person is a cotton or whatever all the possible cases where you're going to say that he has a makeup. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan can say there's a difference between a person who's chigger, a person who's not shayach to bring the carbon, versus over here he's tameh, where he has a shaychus to bring the carbon, just he can't. That's like I was saying before, that the Rebbe says, al yehud ravi ale, there's an external factor preventing him from bringing the carbon. Okay, hanichal manda ama pesach sheni tashlumin rishinu. Fine, that works out. Okay, according to Rav Nosson, which we learned from Sachim, who holds that pesach sheni is not an independent chiyuv of its own; it's strictly tashlumin for the first one, for the first pesach. Which therefore Rav Nosson would taka say that a cotton that who became bar mitzvah between pesach rishon and pesach sheni does not bring a pesach sheni, or a gershon is gayer, etc. All these various possible cases. But what about according to Rebbe, who said there that the second Pesach is an independent regal of its own, and therefore even if you weren't shayach to bring it Pesach Rishon, you still can bring it Pesach Sheni? Ma'ikol Memer, then what are you going to say? And not only that, the halacha is actually like Rebbe. We would prefer to we would prefer to be able to say that Rabbi Yochanan is holding like Rebbe, which is the halacha, rather than like Rabbi Nassan. Ela Amar Papa. So Papa says, you're right. There's a different reason. Rabbi Yochanan Laila in a mechusas man. Rabbi Yochanan holds that when it comes to the night, it's not considered that you're mechusas man, that you're not in the time zone yet. According to Rabbi Yochanan, yes, but of course by night you can't bring karbanos. But again, it's back to this Al Yehud the Rabbi Alei thing. Essentially, you're already in the carbon zone. You just can't bring it because it's by night. But you're already, of course you can wait until the morning. The point is, by night they're already, you're in the zone of time, which already can be described as the carbon, as the carbon time. As soon as the night falls of the eighth day, you're already in that zone. You have to wait until morning to bring the carbon. Okay, that's a side thing. But you're already in that zone, and therefore you can't get away with the first set of carbonas. You need to bring a second set.
For us, Shabbos, that's a Friday night.
Yeah.
Whereas the world, it's Friday is Friday and Shabbos is Shabbos. The date.
Right, okay.
That's what it is by Meyer.
Yeah. So once you come the eighth day already, the eighth night already is a part of the following day, which is a day for a carbon. So Rabbi Yochanan considers it then that it's not. We don't say that you're not yet in that zone. You're already in it. Again, the question becomes: Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi? Really, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? That we say that the night is just considered an extension, a pre-extension, basically of the next day, and you can't separate them. But we have another din of Rabbi Yochanan about a zov. Now, a zov, we've talked about the number of times already in the Gemara. The basic din of a zov is like this. A zov is somebody who has a certain kind of emission from his genitals, whatever. The first one of them just makes him the equivalent of a balkeri. If he only has the one, then that's it. You know, he's like any balkeri. He has to go to the mikveh. He has to have a hair of shemesh, and that's that. Two of them already make him a zov. We learned this in Megillah. Two of them already make him a zov. What? No. Well, a zov has to go mechutz l'machna shechina and I think levia. Yes, a zov has to go outside of machna shechina and levia. In the times of the Mishmikdash, that means outside of the harabayis and outside of the azara and the harabayis. He's allowed to be in Yerushalayim. It's only a mitzvah is sent outside. Is sent chutz l'sholosh machnas. Yeah.
We learned the difference in Megillah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so
the first emission
just makes them a balkeri.
But my question is, do both emissions have to be the same in nature, or they don't have to be?
They do. The first emission, in order to be counted towards the zivus, has to be a zov's emission is different than a normal one. The Mishnah in zovim describes it in a few places. In the Gemara describes it that like where a normal emission is whitish, a normal shichasera is whitish. Zivus is off-white, and it's got a different texture and a different, slightly different color, and the Rambam describes also it doesn't come, you don't feel the same kind of physical sensation with it that you do with Kerry. Anyway, but yeah, so the first, it's a certain kind of sickness, yeah. What it is in modern terms, I don't know. Anyway, the first one, it doesn't matter. The first one, even if it has the consistency and all the qualities and whatever of the Re'iyah of a Zav, just makes him the equivalent of a Baal Kerry. Goes to the mikveh, toivels, waits hair of shemesh, and that's that. Second one makes him a zov. He's now metame mishkav moshe, if anything he sits or leans or whatever on, become a tame, heset, all the various dinim, all the various special dinim of tumah that apply to a zov. Three times, not only all of that, he has to bring a korban. Oh, and one more thing, a zov, the two or three times zov, before they bring the korban, they need sfira, they need to count 7 clean days, like a zova. Now, so what happens again? So let's draw out the case. Again, you can have, for example, a zov similar to the nazir that we were talking about before. You can have, for example, a zov who became a zov bal solosh reiyas, let's say, who you know he waited 7 clean days. He didn't get around to bringing the korbanos. Then he becomes a zov again. For sure, he's going to have to bring two sets of korbanos, one for each ziva. Again, the question becomes: is what if it happens on the night following the seventh? So similar kind of thing. So If you have the Zav who after the seven clean days, he had his seven clean days, he tovled, he had a head of Shemesh, now the night before he brings his Korbanos, that night he has one Re'iyah, he has one Re'iyah, with Shtayim Bayom, and then he has two Re'iyahs the next day. So those combine. Maybe Shtayim, those combine to make him a whole new Zav. And now he has to bring two sets of Korbanos, one for the original Torah and one for the second, and then one for the second one.
After the second one, there's Shomer, she's counting the clans, and it happened another three times?
Yeah, so what we're saying is one of them happened by night and two of them by day.
Oh, and you turn them all together.
Yeah, as opposed to Shtayim Balayla v'achas bayayim, and it may be. But if two of them were by night, the two first ones, right, were by night, and one of them was by day, which already the two of them are already enough to make him a two of them already enough again are enough to make him a Zav. One only makes him a Balkari. So if two of them were by night, then we're saying he does not have to bring an extra carbon, because the two by night already made him a whole new Zav, and this was already this was only at night. This is before the time to bring Korbanos. If he only had one by night, and then one is the next day, where once sunrise comes, it's already time for Korbanos. Sure, then we say, you know, already you definitely came into the Korban zone, into the Korban time zone. There's no question now. You were already chayiv in the first set of Korbanos. Now you became another Zav. Tough luck. You're gonna have to bring another set. But if you became a whole new Zav by night already, which is not yet the Korban zone, then already we consider the Korbanos you're going to bring at the end are just going to be a continuation of the previous one. You're not chayev in a new set. That's a stira from what we just said, exactly, because we just said that he said Laila in Mechotos Man, that the night is already in the Korban zone, and now we're saying it's not. Yeah? The answer is, Kika Amar Rabbi Yechon on the Divraim, Laila Mechotos Man. You're right. When Rabbi Yochanan said that din, he meant according to the opinion that says that Laila Mechotos Man, that the night is not considered to belong together with the day, what we said before according to Chizkiyah, Rabbi Yochanan is saying effectively, according to Chizkiyah, the only way the guy is going to be able to, is going to have to bring two sets of Korbanos if it was one by night and then the second one by day, or obviously two by day, all the more so. But if it was two by night, then I would say he still has to bring a carbon, because I hold Laila Lav Mechotos Man. The night is already the carbon zone. Chizkiyah, you hold it's not? Fine. According to you, then you have that difference. Well, why? The Divra Ayim Rapshita. Shtayim Bayim, the Divra Ayim Rapshita. Well, of course, according to Chizkiyah, it's going to be like that. Why does Rabbi Yochanan need to point it out? The answer is, Shtayim Bayim, Achas Balayla, it's Trichalei. True, but the reason why he's mentioning it is because he has to point out what the din would be if you had only one by night and two by day. The chiddush is why does he have to point that out? Because the Gemara in Krisis, where it talks about the sugya, points out Reb Yosef over there gives the reason that we said that there's a difference between the night and the day. The night is not yet zman korban, and the daytime is. Over there, Rav Shisha Breit Rav Idi asked a question on that. In Krisis. How can you compare them? How can you say that, very nice, the first one makes him only a Valkyrie, and the second one makes him a Zav, and so it combines together between them. Rav Shisha Breit Rav Idi asks over there, but still, there should be a difference between whether you had the Re'ias at a time when you're already chayiv in the carbon, where yes, then you're going to be chayiv another set of Korbanos, versus when you saw it in a time where versus when you had the Re'iyah at a time at night when it's not yet Zman Re'iyah. So Rav Shisha Breit Rav Idi challenges that whole point. So Sakhatai the Chamina Kaf Kafta did Rav Shisha Breit Rav Idi. So Rav Yochanan wants to tell us you might have thought that Rav Shisha Breit Rav Idi has a valid point. There is a difference between night and day. That's why he tells us that no. Nevertheless, we follow what Rabbi Yosef said over there that if you had two by night and one by day, according to Rabbi Shisha Breder of Edi would say that shouldn't yet make you chayiv in another carbon. Because even the two by night, you became a complete Zav, but still the night should be a continuation of before. No, we go with what Rabbi Yosef said, that once you became a complete Zav already at night, then that's already enough to make you chayiv in another carbon.
Why can't you say
Rabbi Yochanan said it. Rabbi Yochanan said it as a din. We're bringing it over here because we're trying to put together. We're trying to reconcile all the various statements of Rabbi Yochanan on this. Rabbi Yochanan himself probably originally said it in connection with the Sogia and Christmas. Yeah. Yeah, actually, in Masoret Shas, it brings over here that this statement of Rabbi Yochanan is brought in a few places in Shas, and one of them is in that Sogia and Krisis. Yeah. Okay. Next, the Mishnah said, "Over a rego v'leichog," that if the whole Yom Tov has passed and you did not bring the Chagiga, ain't a chai brachuyose, we said you're not responsible to make it up, you lost your chance. And on this, the pasuk says that a crooked thing can't be fixed, and if something that's missing can't be counted. But now a little agadah. Amalir bar hei hei lehilo. Bar hei hei, this is the Ben Hei Hei, the famous Ben Hei Hei from Pirkei Avos, from Tzara Agra. Ask Hillel. Why do you have such a weird name as Bar Hei Hei? So Tosfos says that he was a ger. He called himself Ben Hei Hei after the hei that was added to the name of Avraham and of Sarah. Because all gerim are considered are children of Avraham and Sarah. Then Bag Bag, he says also. Bag Bag, it says Bag is Gematria Hei. So it was the same kind of thing. Then Bag Bag was also a Ger, same idea.
It means
the gematria of the hay of Avraham and the hay of Sarah. That's why he called himself Ben Bag Bag. Yeah, it was five, yeah.
Otherwise, what
would
they call themselves? They can't
use
the father's name.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, Bar Hei Hei Ach Hillel. Highly monist. What do you mean the post says that something that's missing can't be counted? Of course, if it's missing, it can't be counted. Usually the word you would use, the verb you would use with something missing, it can't be filled in. Yeah. Ella, so he said, but rather, I don't know whether this means that this was Hillel's answer or whether Bar Hei Hei himself came up with the answer. This is talking about a person who his friends wanted to join him together with them in Dvar Mitzvah. And he didn't join together with them. Meaning, so Rashi says, for example, his friends are telling him, come with us, let's do this mitzvah together. He doesn't. He excluded himself from that minyan. Now, lo yuchal lehimonis, he won't be able to be counted in that minyan anymore. The opportunity's been missed. And Ben Yehoyada gives some actual real-life examples. Imagine, for example, you have somebody who, you know, they call out in shul, minyan, you know, and you instead of joining the minyan, go and daven b'yichidus. You miss the chance to daven tefillah b'tzibur. You're not going to be able to make that up. No, but if you daven Shemana Esrei the Yechidus, then that's, yeah. Yeah. When we talk about it, we're talking primarily Shemana Esrei. A few days ago in Tanya, there was something out that Eva mentioned similar about that when you have people are joining together in a mitzvah tzedakah and you don't participate, that's also the kind of thing that the Gemara is talking about over here. You know, fine, later on you'll give tzedakah, but you miss the opportunity to do it as part of a tzibur. When it says a crooked thing can't be made straight, it means somebody who missed Shema in the morning or in the evening, or Shema Esrei in the morning or in the evening. Why?
Well, I mean, why not?
Right. So Bittel, right. The Gemara in Brachas points out specifically Bittel because if it was Ta, if he mistakenly missed it, then it's not Lo Yochal Liskan, he can make it up by the next Shema Esrei. But if he did it on purpose, then yeah, there's no tashlumen for it. Why not mincha?
Why not mincha?
So a couple of different reasons. Marsha says one reason is because the Gemara wants to put it together with Kriyashma. There's no Kriyashma by mincha. Another reason is because when it comes to mincha, you actually, even if you're making it up, the next day, kind of, because Ma'ariv already belongs to the next day. So therefore, it's kind of, you know, it's a different kind of thing than Shacharis and Ma'ariv, where if you're going to be able to make it up, it would have even been on the same day. Incidentally, Tosfos talks about over here when you get down to it. I mean, you know, the halacha is Tfilas Arvitz Rishus. So what if you missed Tfilas Arvitz? Why is that? Because Tosfos says, because first of all, there is an opinion that it's Chayva. Second of all, even if we say it's Rishus, doesn't mean it's Rishus as in, I don't feel like davening tonight, I'm allowed to skip it. No, it's if there's some kind of oiness, then, you know, it's not such a bad thing if you skip it. But yeah, basically. And actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that nowadays that everybody's accepted on themselves as a Chayva to daven Ma'ariv, then it became a Chayva for that reason alone, yeah.
Yeah,
Yalav Yavah is a different thing. That's because you can't bring Kaddish L'Chodesh by night. That's a special case, but yeah. V'chetzron L'yuchal Eimonis is Zeshenim L'chaber L'Dvar Mitzvah, is that the person's friends are joining together for a Dvar Mitzvah, who L'Nim Neiman, and he didn't join together with them, like we said. Another one. Speaking of Bar Hehe and Hillel, Amalei Bar Hehe and Hillel, my dichtiv, what does it mean? The pasuk says, v'shavtem ureisem mit tzadik l'rosha, you should turn around and look at the difference between a tzadik and a rosha, ben oved elekim asher l'avode, between the one who serves Hashem and the one who doesn't serve him. The question is, well, isn't the pasuk repeating itself? Heinu tzadik, heinu oved elekim, heinu rosha, heinu asher l'avode. A tzadik is somebody who serves Eibush, a rosha is somebody who doesn't. Amalei, no, the one who serves Hashem and the one who doesn't are both tzaddikim gemurim, but the Eina Dreima, the famous thing, the Eina Dreima, Shaina Pirka Meir Pa'amim, Shaina Pirka Meir Ba'echad. You can't compare somebody who reviewed is learning 100 times versus somebody who learns it 101 times. The one who learns it 100 times is Asher Lai Avadai. He did what he's supposed to, but no more than what he's supposed to. So fine, he's a tzaddik gomer, he did everything that he's supposed to. That's what Rebbe talks about this in Perek Tesvav of Tanya, and it's brought from there in many, many places in Chassidus, that Asher Le'avodai, he didn't do avoda. He didn't stretch beyond his normal limits. He did. The normal thing in those days was reviewed 100 times. He did that. So he does the usual conventional thing. That's the Asher Le'avodai. The avodai, somebody who goes beyond his regilus. He breaks himself of his usual habits in order to become more of an Oved Hashem. That's the 101. The Alter Rebbe mentions it in Tanya, in Perek Tesvav. And from there, it's brought in many places in the city. So that's the question. Amalei, sir, Ben Hehe asked him, what, Mishum Chadzim Makar Le'Loy Avadei? Just because he missed out on 101st time, that's called Loy Avadei. Amalei, and Hillel tells him, ain't, indeed. You can go and look how it is in the junkie market when you go to rent a junkie. If you want to go 10 parsa, you only have to pay 1 zuz. But if you want to go 11 parsa, more than the usual, you only have to pay 2 zuzin because you're doing more than usual, so therefore you end up having to pay extra. The same thing, he's doing only one more time, but he's doing more than his usual regilus. So that counts, that becomes a whole different level of avoda. And in fact, the Rebbe once talked about it, that the idea is, we're saying that then for the 101-time person, the Oved Elikim, even the first time already has that mila of the 101st time, because he's doing the first one already having in mind that he's going to go beyond his normal regulus. And the idea is that Rebbe talked about, that this is the mashal is when you're renting a donkey, the donkey doesn't even belong to you. But we still see that there's this difference between 10 parasa, even though it's only one more parasa. Similarly, there's the idea, even you have a person who hasn't completely refined their own personal donkey, their own Nefesh HaBahamas, but still, the going beyond your normal thing already, that's already a whole different level of avodah. And Marsha points out that there's actually a remez to it in the pasuk, the words Oved Elokim Lasher, the Rosh Tevis of it, Ayin Aleph Lamed equal 101, the Loy Avodah, the gematria, the initial Lamed Ayin, which is gematria 100. And he talks about the Pinimis and Yonim, that 100, it has to do with Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, that therefore 100 is just Sam, but 101 is going beyond that. Then Marsha talks about it. And then there's an idea also that a number of Mephoshim talk about, that forgetting is associated with the number 100, and remembering is associated with Malach Machal, which is Gematria 101. Machal is Gematria 101. So therefore that's another reason why the Gemara is distinguishing here between 100 and 101. Another Bar Hei Hei thing, Amalei Eliyahu Bar Hei Hei Hei, this time it's usually we have the Chachamim ask Eliyahu thing. Here it's the other way around. Eliyahu is asking Bar Hehe or Rabbi Lazar, in my dichtiv, what does it mean? The pasuk says, behold, the Ebishta says, I have refined you, v'loy b'kesef, but not with silver. I've chosen you. I've made you a select thing in the cauldron. A cauldron is a big pot like they use for refining metal. And then the furnace of oini, of poverty. What does this mean? B'kesef, Rashi says, means like usually you refine silver using fire. I'm not refining you with fire, but rather I'm refining you with the oven, with the furnace of poverty. Well, Maharsha says actually what it means is v'loy b'kesef, that I'm not refining you by giving you money, instead I'm refining you with poverty. So what does this mean? This teaches us that the Eibush looked around among all the possible midas tovus that he could give the Jewish people. And the only one that he could find, the best one that he could find, is Anius, being poor. The Eibush makes us the Aman Nivcha, makes us the special people by having Oini. One second. So one second, let's learn until the two dots, and then I'll tell you what various Mephoshim say about it, and what Chassidus says about it. Amar Shmuel b'tamer Rav Yosef, so Shmuel, some say Rav Yosef said, Hainu da'amri inshi, this is like what people say. Yor aniyusa lihudai, poverty befits the Jewish people, ki bar v'sumka l'sus yechivra, like a red ribbon on a white horse. A red ribbon, beautifully, it looks very beautiful, set against the background of the white horse. So also, Anius is a tachshit for the Jewish people. A lot of Mephoshim say a Gleis Vertel on it. I think the earliest source of this is Rabbi Lazar Rekeach, says that. We'll try to get together one. Rabbi Lazar Rekeach says a cute vote on this. It's like if you have a horse, you put fancy ribbons on it and whatnot. You don't do that in the privacy of the stall. You do that when you're taking it out to show off to the owner. When you're taking it to a horse show or something. The same way, Anius is good for the Jewish people to be showing in public. The Jewish people should appear as Aniim in order not to excite the jealousy of the goyim. In private, because into hey, Sadat Abel, let a Jew have Osher. Or just don't show it off. That's the thing. So some of Mephoshim talk about there's a difference. We're talking, the Gemara does talk about in a few places the kind of anius we learned in Eruvin, for example. That's Malvira, Sadam Adaf Kernan. That makes a person unable to live as the way a Yid should live. And to be able to do Avodah. But we're not talking about that level of poverty. We're talking about the kind that makes a person humble, that makes a person more receptive to. And Chassidus, in a number of places, Chassidus is my modem of the Tzemach Tzedek and the Mitzvah and the Rebbe Marash that talk about the idea that we're saying that the poverty we're talking about over here is vital. The ability to feel bittul to the Eibishter. That's something, that's a tachshit for the Jewish people. That's something that beautifies us and makes us who we are. And the idea, the comparison of a white horse and a red ribbon, that some ascetic talks about has to do is related to chesed and gvura. We know that white is, that chesed is often associated with white, gvura with red. So the idea is you have the Eibishter in mashpiach chesed to us. But in order, you don't want that chesed should be sucked off and nurtured by the olmos there. Therefore, you need the red of gvura to restrain it. And hence the comparison of a red ribbon. Or actually, I think some ascetic explains that barza means like a bridle to restrain the horse on a white horse. The gvura restrains the chesed that it shouldn't be channeled off into inappropriate channels. I was hoping to get to the Mishnah, but I guess it's getting late. So. That's true. Okay. All right. Rav Shimon ben Nachi, Ezra Moritz, and we said Rav Shimon ben Nachi says, what's a crooked thing that can't be made straight? This is somebody who has relations with an erva and produces a mamza from her. It seems to imply Rav Shimon ben Nachi is saying, when is it loyal chaliska? And only if the mamza was actually born. If no child was produced from this era, then it's not such a it's not such a bad thing. A person can do tshuva and it'll be liska and he'll fix up what he did wrong. But v'hatanya, but don't we learn in a price that Rav Shimon ben Nachi Omer, going of odd if a person steals ef sheyachse gnava v'yitaken, he's able to return what he stole and he'll fix it up. Going to odd if a person robs, same thing ef sheyachse gizla v'yitaken. Avala, Baal, Ashes Ish, Ostra Labaila, but if a person has relations with an Ashes Ish and makes her also to her husband, Nitzred Bina Oilam Mahalakla, then he gets removed, he's removed from the world and he goes. In other words, Rashi says, Sha'im Lerafua, he did something that can't be undone. Because he answered her to her husband. Which actually, okay, doesn't mean, I mean, Farati can still do tshuva. Marsha says, doesn't mean Nitzred Bina Oilam, doesn't mean he's Farfalan, Lo Yudach Menor Nidach. But it means he's going to have to spend some serious time in Gehenna. Unlike a regular person does an Aveira, let's say he does Tshuva, then fine, he may not have to undergo Gehenna for it, because the Tshuva, maybe whatever else he has to undergo will wipe away that. In the case of an Eishes Ish, the Gemara describes in Bava Metzia, it's one of those things that necessarily he has to spend a stint in Gehenna for it. That's what it means over here. Even if he's not Chayav Misa, when there's no Edom, no Asra, no Sanhedrin nowadays, whatever. Anyway, what do we see from that? This being with an Ashes Ish is already a more of a Slo Yocholuska and Rav Shimon ben Nachi saying. Nothing to do with whether it's a child or not. And the Braisa continues, Rav Shimon Yechol Yomer, Ein Omer Bakru Gomo Bakru Chazir. When you think about it, when a person is going to bring a carbon, you don't say, for example, let's check out this camel and see if it doesn't have movement that we can bring into the carbon, or let's check out this chazir. Obviously not. They're puzzle for a carbon to begin with. They're not even shy at it. Ella Bakru Tleh. What do we say? Check out this Tleh. See if this Tleh, which could be used for a carbon, whether it has a mum. And if not, then we'll know, and if it does, we know we can't use it. The Ezezeh. So what's the comparison? The Tamar Chacham Shapirish Min HaTorah. This is the Tamar Chacham who abandoned learning Torah, like we said in the Mishnah, that then that's more similar Mela, a person who does Averis, like this person who was Baal Ishatish. Okay, you could argue he's like a camel, or you could argue he's like a camel, or a chazer, or whatever. You know, he was never good in the first place. But Tamar Chacham Shapirish Min HaTorah is like a real pity. You know, this animal could have been a carbon, and now it's disqualified. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, continuing the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says, Kol Tamar Chacham Shepirish Min HaTorah, a Tamar Chacham who abandoned learning Torah, all of our cults of Omer, on such a person, the Pasuk says, Ketzipo Nedetes Min Kina, just like a bird that wanders away from its nest, Ken Ish Noded Mim Kome, so is a person who wanders away from where he belongs. Tamar Chacham belongs in Torah, and now he wandered away from it. But Omer, and there's another Pasuk that expresses the same idea. The Ebishter complains, Ma Matsu Abesechem Bi Ovel, what did your ancestors see bad in me? Ki Rochakum Elder, that they went far away from me. Implying, in other words, the Ebishter is more upset over the people who were close and then went far away than the people who were far Lachachila. Anyway, the point is, like the Gemara says in Pesach, Shana Upirish Kasha Mikolam. Anyway, the point is, we brought the whole Brice in because we wanted the whole Brice, but the main point is, we see Rav Shimon Menashe is contradicting himself, and the Mishnah says, V'holid Mimena Mamzer, there actually has to be a born Mamzer for it to be Lo Yochal Lizgoin, for it to be something unfixable. And here in the Brice is just saying, just having relations with an Eish HaTish is enough. The answer is, Lo Kasha, Kan Ba'achoy Sipnuya, Kan Ba'eish HaTish. One is talking about, the Mishnah is talking about, for example, he was with his sister, who was a Pnuya, so only if there's a mamzer. Otherwise, he's not asking her to a kohen. Fine, but not necessarily is her basher to a kohen anyway. So it's not lo yuchal liskoin, because okay, you know, he did a horrible avera, but it's not unfixable. As opposed to hakan ve'eshesish, the brayzer talking about an eshesish. You don't even need a mamzer. The very fact that he makes her also to her husband, that's ready lo yuchal liskoin, because she is never allowed to. She'll never be allowed to stay married to her husband anymore. The Iboy same, or another possibility, Hava Ishish, both the Mishnah and the Braisa can be talking about an Ishish, but like Kasha, Kanva Ones, Kanva Rotzen. One could be the Mishnah would be talking about where he was with her, but where he forced her, where he raped her. She's not also to her husband then, so the only way it would be Lo Yochal Liskoin is if there was an actual mamzer.
She's not, she's raped and then
she's mutter to her, as long as he's Yisrael, we're going to say in a second.
Yeah.
Kan Berotzen, whereas the Braita is talking about where is Berotzen. It was willingly, and therefore she becomes also to her husband. Yeah, consensually. Yeah.
I thought the whole thing was the ship with Kim Gunn, and they capture ships automatically.
That's for a Kayan. We'll learn about that in Ksubas. That's didn't even about that for a Kayan. For Yisrael, it doesn't matter. V'ibayitzema, or yet another possibility, Hava Onus, both of them could be talking about it was rape, but like Kasha, Kan Ba'eshes Kayan, Kan Ba'eshes Yisrael, because an Eishes Kayan, even if she was raped, no matter what, she becomes also to her husband if she was with anybody else. Yeah. Another thing the Gemara mentioned, since we talked about this idea of a Tamar Chacham who goes away from learning Torah, so Gemara is going to point out it's not only a person who goes completely away from learning Torah, like he abandons it altogether. There can even be a problem, a person who downgrades their level of learning. The Pasuk says, Ula Yotzo Ba Ula Ba Ein Shalom. The ones who go out and the ones who come in have no peace. What does this mean? Amarav, Kivin Shayotza Adam, Dvar Halacha, Dvar Mikra, when a person leaves learning Halacha and goes to learning Mikra, to learning Psukim, Aimlosh Shuv Aimlosh Shalom, then he doesn't have any peace anymore how do you have peace? By learning the Halachas, to know what the Maaseh Shayasim, to know what to do. You'll know that by learning Halacha. You're not going to know that, but you can't learn Halacha from Psukim. So necessarily, when a person leaves alone learning Halacha, when a person leaves alone learning Shulchan Aruch and starts focusing on Mikra, they're going to always be confused. They're never going to know what to do. Shmuel says even more. It means even somebody who goes away from Talmud, from learning Gemara, back to learn and downgrades to learning Mishnah, which Rashi explains is throughout Shas, whenever it uses the word Talmud, or sometimes the sentence changes to Gemara or Shas or whatever, it means understand. Mishnah means exactly what we think of the Mishnah. Gemara is explaining the Mishnayos, which eventually got written down as our Gemara. When does this case apply? Where do we know it from? What are similar cases that it applies to? Are there other opinions who disagree, and how can we reconcile them? That kind of thing is Gemara. It's also called Shimush Tamer Chachamim. The person, again, you can learn Halacha from Gemara. Okay, we don't, because we're in the times of the Acharonim already. The Rishonim learned Halacha directly from the Gemara. But if you abandon Gemara, if you abandon Talmud and go back to Mishnah, again, you're going to be confused. You're never going to be able to know what the halacha is, because you can't pass in halacha from the Mishnah, because there's too much stated abstract things in the Mishnah that you need the Gemara to clarify. I don't know that it's good to be learning only Chassidus. I mean, well, Chassidus is the advantage of, one of the advantages of Chassidus, besides the way it helps you in Avodas Hashem, is also that it blends together all the different genres of Limud HaTorah. It blends together Mikra and Mishnah and Gemara and Kabbalah and everything else. So in that sense, you know, but should a person only be learning Chassidus? I don't know about that. But, you know, a person does have to set aside time for Nigla also for Pashtus. Someplace I read that they once asked, I think it was the Rebbe of Shab, that, you know, we know the Gemara tells in Shabbos that, you know, you have to develop Yiras Shemayim because it's like Kav Chumtin. It's like when you have a whole storehouse full of wheat, you need Kav Chumtin. You need a Kav of sandy dirt mixed in with there in order to preserve the grain from spoiling. So, okay, I can understand. He says that learning Musa or Chassidus or whatever is the equivalent of that. You're learning something about Yiras Shemayim, and that helps preserve your learning. He asks him, the Gemara says over there, you need a Kav of this Chumtin, of this preservative, for a core of grain. You need like 180th. There's 180 kavim in a core. So fine, 180th a day, you should be learning Chassidus. A day is 24 hours, you should be learning Chassidus for 8 minutes. Why are you spending so much time on Chassidus? And the Rebbe Rashab, whoever it was, answers him, the Gemara doesn't just say you have to put in the Chumtin, it says you have to mix him in. Mixing him in takes a while.
Hard to understand without.
Yeah. We've had some already, and we're going to have more in the next parak. We're going to have, when we get to the next parak and we start talking about Ma'aseh Merkabah and Ma'aseh Bereishis, there are parts over there that I don't know how anybody who doesn't learn Chassidus can possibly learn those Gemaras without coming to some kind of serious Chassidah. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if a person goes from learning one Gemara to the other, meaning one Shas, one Talmud to the other, Rashi says from Yerushalmi to Bavli. Because from Yerushalmi, Bavli is much deeper and much more intense. The Gemara in Sanhedrin compares it to like being in a deep, dark place. So a person goes from the simplicity and then from the simplicity of the Yerushalmi into the complications and twists and turns and everything of the Bavli, it's just going to confuse him. Tosfos says, actually, it could be even the other way around. It would be the other way around also. If a person starts out with Bavli, and then without fully knowing Bavli, they switch over to learning Yerushalmi, they're going to have the same kind of problem. And Mefarshim point out, it's even worse nowadays that the Yerushalmi is less studied than the Bavli, and therefore there's more, the girsas in it are less accurate, and there aren't such, the Mefarshim are harder to understand. When we learned Shkolim in our shiur last year, it was tremendously difficult, because, you know, you can be used to learning Bavli, and then Yerushalmi all of a sudden throws you for a loop like that. So that's Afilu Mishas L'Shas, that even you're going from one Talmud to the other, from Yerushalmi to Bavli or vice versa, is L'Yosu Bal in Sholem. You're going to have a difficult time of it unless you know it's so. Sholem was only in Yerushalmi, but they included it. It's kind of an honorary Nesefta to Bavli, but still, you know.
You have to forget one to be able to learn another.
That's the famous, Tosfos mentions that, actually Tosfos mentioned, yeah, that Reb Zera had to actually fast to forget the Gemara Bavli in order to be able to learn the Gemara Yerushalmi, because otherwise he would have had the problem that the Gemara is mentioning over here. Afilu Mishas L'Shas, that he's so used to the Bavli style that he wouldn't have been able to do anything with the Yerushalmi.
There's no continuous thread in the Yerushalmi, or it's very difficult to grasp. As it is in Bavli.
So that's the thing. The Yerushalmi is written on kind of, the Yerushalmi on the face of it is I don't want to use the word superficial, Chas v'Shalom, to say that any part of Torah is superficial, but like the Yerushalmi, you don't find a sugya delves into all the different possible nuances and permutations and whatnot as Bavli does. Like the Yerushalmi is more fairly straightforward, and Amora said such and such. You know, we see in, you know, what exactly did he mean, and pretty much that's that. You know, we'll ask one or two kashas on it, you know, and then that's pretty much that, as opposed to the Bavli, which can be spending pages and pages, you know, dissecting something that we said, you know. So that's the thing. In many places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea that the Yerushalmi, the people of the Yerushalmi being Bnei Eretz Yisrael, Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkim, the heir of Eretz Yisrael makes you wiser, and the people of the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael were able to learn on a more straightforward level. They were able to learn. In Chassidus, it talks about it, that they're able to learn on a level of Ur Yosher. The light comes down directly. The light comes down directly from Achilles or whatever, from Bria, whatever it is to them, and that's that. You know, they can immediately grasp it. Whereas opposed to in the Bavli, which is written in Golos, and then, you know, and the outside of Eretz Yisrael, and on a lower level, then, you know, you have to kvetch this and go this way and that but on the other hand, that's the advantage of the Bavli, is that the Soviet becomes much more clarified and much more, you know. Mussel crystal, which is one reason why the halacha ultimately is like the Bavli.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because the Bavli, that's one reason, is because the Bavli, they worked so much harder to figure out the actual, to figure out the final conclusion for the final halacha. Yeah.